go with me, if you will, in your analog sword or your digital sword to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Yes. And I need you to not get it twisted tonight. I need you to understand that tonight is a launch for this Joshua generation, and I am proud to be a part of this movement. This is a very scary time, but exciting time to be alive in the final seconds of the dispensation of grace and truth. And everything that we've been taught up to this point is now coming to this place, and I'm so thankful that I'm able to stand before the people of God, saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, knowing and understanding that there are not three gods, but hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. So I thank him for the Holy Ghost to know that God is Jesus, and Jesus is indeed the Lord of all. Now, if you believe that, you should be excited, because everyone does not know that Jesus is the Father, and Jesus is the Son, and Jesus is indeed the Holy Ghost. And some even call him Yeshua. You can't say Yeshua without saying yes. Try using it in a sentence tomorrow. Yes. All right. Yes. Tell somebody, laugh. You might get saved. It's all right to have fun in the Lord. There's joy in him. Luke 22. Let's see what's going on here. The topic tonight is very simple. We're going to be talking about godly frustration. Godly frustration. And the first thing we're going to have to understand is that all frustration is not bad frustration, and we need not to label what our dilemma is, good or bad, because it doesn't matter, because all things indeed work together for the good of them that are thee called according to his purpose and love the Lord. So let's investigate. Luke 22, I'm setting you up for something very wonderful. Something very wonderful. Go to verse 39. And when you have it, say amen. I'm going to be reading to you from the Message Bible, so it will be a little bit different from some of your swords, but I like a Bible that I can actually make applicable to my life. And if some of you don't understand the thys and the thous, I encourage you to get the Remix Bible or the Message Bible Remix. It will break it down for you in layman's terms where you can use it and it can be effective for you. Leaving there, verse 39, he went, and this was as he did so often, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him, and when they arrived at the place, he said, I want you to pray that you don't give in to temptation. And then after he told them that, he pulled away from them about a stone's throw, and then he knelt down and prayed, Father, remove this cup from me, but please, not what I want in this situation. He asked here in this version, what do you want? And at once, an angel from heaven was at his side, strengthening him. He prayed on all the harder, sweat wrung from him like drops of blood and poured off of his face. Many of us are praying for the Lord to give us strength, but I have a revelation. He wants to be your strength. He got up from prayer, which is key, because you can't stay prostrate forever. You can't stay in the prayer closet forever. Some of you need to come out the closet the right way. Good evening. He got up from prayer and went back to the disciples and found them what? Asleep. They were drugged by the spirit of grief. I want you to hear that. They were drugged by the spirit of grief. They weren't asleep because they were tired, but they were so grieved that the chemical released from grieving caused them to be drugged and put to sleep. There is a time when you mourn. There is a time when you grieve, but at some point you have to shake the dust off of your feet, wash your face, and get back in the game. Because the spirit of grief sometimes can be stroked and perpetuated by emotionalism in most of our sermons to tell you keep on crying, but weeping may, doesn't have to, may endure for a night. May, that means you still have a choice. And unequivocally, we would want to choose for may. I choose that it may. And with that may, I say I don't have to stay in the state that I'm in. Too much power has been given to. Thank you, Jesus. Wrap him in swaddling clothes and lie him in a manger. Pray, and I'm going through this because I must have tapped into a different realm. Pray that you don't give into temptation, that it's not necessarily sexual temptation. The first thing we think of is something physical when it comes to temptation. But don't give into temptation to start to doubt God or label his agenda over your life. We all are tempted to begin to analyze the genius nature of Jesus Christ and how he begins to plan our itineraries for our lives. You have to understand that you're dealing with someone who is a genius. Emphatically, he knows exactly what he's doing, when he's doing it, and why he's doing it. He's the one that even says that dying is not a bad thing. His way of thinking is quite different than the average person because Jesus says, turn the other cheek when you get slapped in your face. And the average African-American is not going to turn the other cheek. They're going to take matters into their own hands. But do I have a witness that when you begin to retaliate in the flesh, you get fleshly results? Am I going too fast for this generation? We're on Wi-Fi now. Get off of dial-up. Praise the Lord. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than a crowd showed up. Judas, one from the 12, in the lead, leading the crowd. And he came right up to Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus says, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Go back to verse number 39. Say 39. I want us to take close notice. Look at this. Leaving there, he went so often to the Mount of Olives, and anyone who knows what olives represent oil. So we could assume, although we shouldn't, because assumption is deadlier than the fact. Oil can only come as a result of being crushed. But watch how Jesus doesn't crush them in the valley. Jesus calls the disciples up to a higher place before a crushing can begin. So with that in mind, your valley experience should not be labeled as a process. Because David writes so eloquently, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not run, because if he was running, he would be fearing the evil. He walked because he understood the valley is a temporary place. Label it a perm if you want to, but give it 3 weeks and the roots will come up. Ah, tell somebody, give it 3 weeks, it'll change. This thing is not permanent. Some of you can't clap because you still need a perm. Hallelujah. And some of you can't clap because you don't want to get based before you get a perm. Before you can get a perm, they've got to anoint your head to condition your scalp for the straightening out that's about to take place. Oh, y'all missing me right there. Before God can apply something to your life to straighten it out, you first have got to get your head anointed with oil.
So that he only straightens out what needs to be straightened out, but don't burn what needs to be kept sacred. And before he begins to style you and prepare you for the world, you ain't getting up out of that chair that quickly. It's time for you to put some conditioner in your head so that it can lock in everything that it needs. So when the hot irons come to finish the final stage, your hair can flow when the Holy Ghost blows through. You need some hang time in the spirit. Your hair's been short enough. Your prayer life's been short enough. It's time to get some lift. All right. I guess I done went too carnal for some of y'all. But it's all right. The word is thunder by itself. Let's continue to investigate. Now, this mountain of olives brings us to a place that we've got to start thinking differently, because scientifically, if you begin to go higher into a mountain, the air gets thinner. Ah, when you feel like life is beginning to suffocate you, that's a strong indication, not that the devil is busy, but that God's master plan is at work in your life. Now, I can liken this unto an airplane. They tell you that if the pressure begins to act crazy within that cabin, just in case the pressure changes, that some help will fall from the sky. But what they say is, before you try to tell somebody else what they need to do, you need to make sure the mask is over your own mouth, and then you begin to help someone else. Some of y'all need to quit trying to spiritually analyze your brother and sister. Take care of your own house and your own children and your own walk with Christ. Then begin to offer advice to somebody else. The Bible says to save yourself from this untoward or lacking forward thinking generation. Why? Because we love to rekindle the past and recycle what was. But unfortunately, Christina Wynn is no longer here. Unfortunately, Sharon McGriff is not directing this choir. And if we continue to try to put the Lord into syndication when he's trying to create a new series, he'll say, stay there, and run over and over again, lacking revelation and lacking oil. When the man of God says, let's leave the valley, and then he says, let's go to the mountaintop. Even if the valley was trying to kill you, some people prefer the valley because at least it was familiar. Some people love pain because they don't know what it's like to be without pain, so they prefer something. Even if it's killing me, at least I'm familiar with this feeling. But I can't stay in the valley because I've recognized, true enough, he is the lily of the valley, but there is a mountaintop anointing that I've got to get to. You cannot bake a cake the same way in higher altitudes. If you read the instructions on the back of a Bisquick box, you're going to find out you're going to have to do things a little bit differently. And when God begins to take you to another realm, you need to read the word of the Lord, which is the instructions on how to bake the manna which comes into your spirit diligently and with accuracy. Because anointing without precision is disaster. Many of you have a great anointing upon your life, but you can't steer it. You still don't have the propensity to navigate it. You see, the anointing, as much as it can elevate you, can indeed crush you. And if you don't get stronger in the Lord by reading the instructions, the word of the Lord every day is applicable to any situation in your life. But we cannot box the interpretation of the original text, because God is still speaking. He did not stop talking at revelation. How do I know? Because we are living epistles. Every day I am writing a brand new book in the Bible. Every chapter is called Anthony, chapter number one, when the enemy came in like a flood. Y'all's trying to read the same things and use cliche scriptures, but does anybody in here know about having to write a scripture of your own, a testament of God's ability in your life? Reading the word for what it's saying in this season is important. Don't go with last season's news. You need a fresh word and a fresh interpretation of the scriptures. Mount of Olives, crushing, going to a higher place. If something's going wrong in your life, don't call it frustration. Call it, I didn't read the instructions properly. The box had nothing to do. The mix had nothing to do. The eggs had no personal vendetta against you. How are we taking things personal? Well, God, how could you put me in this situation? God says, I cannot deliver you from something I didn't create. We have ensnared ourselves with our own mouth because we have the power to co-create with God. That's right. We're in the image of God, and the power of life and death lies within our tongue. So I spoke that idol, which was going through and feeling bad and trouble, and I decided to erect that and worship it more than God himself. So why should I come and fix what you've created with your own mouth? What are you talking about, preacher? Well, you said that this frustration was the enemy. You called the frustration your process. I have an email for somebody today. I'm here to let you know that this alleged 20-year process that we've been hearing about in charismatic religion for I don't know how long, that process is cliche. The process is over. Now it's time to walk in promise. Now it's time to walk in fullness. How long does it take to bake a cake? If you leave it in too long, it's going to be burnt. What does that mean, preacher? It means that if you have instructed me and taught me how to do something and mentored me in the spirit, at what point are you going to release me to do what you taught me how to do? I must be preaching a little bit too hard. Or some of you are still trying to keep me and 5 years ago, and times have changed. So I'm here to let you know. I'm in Spring Valley, but I had to come out of the valley because there's a mountaintop anointing coming. Now, we got to understand something about frustration. Frustration is pivotal. Frustration brings us to a place where we begin to understand who God is if we choose to look at it through God's eyes. Frustration is caused by the obscurity of destiny. When you can't see where you're going, the spirit of frustration comes to challenge the very word of the Lord that you shouted over when you received the prophecy originally. It's amazing to me that in the presence of the Lord, inside of a church, for some reason, we're able to believe God when we have the energy of other saints around us. But it's between the sanctuary and the car where the ravens begin to snatch the very word that came over us. We shouted over, froth over, and the prayer napkin was over our knees. But somewhere between this aisle and that parking lot, you have lost sight of what God has told you. Frustration comes in when God decides to do something that is not within our time schedule. We must understand that frustration comes when we're functioning in carnality, trying to manipulate the hands of God to move on a situation that he's using to make sure that you're not half-baked. Many of us have a nice outside, but the inside of us is still gooey until we say we're ready for ministry and we're ready for the microphone and we're ready for singing, but the insides of us have not been proven. We are still novice in various areas because we won't sit still long enough to get a word that will give us foundational truths so that when every wind of doctrine comes our way, we can stand sure that the promises of God are still yes and amen. Yes, he said it, and amen, so let it be. Quit messing with it and let it be what he said it was. Because when God speaks a thing, it cannot come back to him void. Go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. We acknowledge the pastor coming in here tonight. He's here with us. Give God praise for Pastor Shepherd. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1 in analog or digital form. If you are in digital, you can log in right now to BibleGateway.com and then log in Genesis 1. I'll meet you there. Now, we must understand that the word of the Lord is not a Sunday school fable. We got to understand that Jesus Christ is a creative genius who created what he created before he created and then said, let's create it again. So let's go there. Genesis 1 and verse 1. Read that for me. As if we're speaking in English. Just try it. Go. Go on. Wait. There's a problem here. Now go back to verse 1. Read that one more time. In the beginning. Read. In the beginning, the very beginning. I'm talking about the absolute beginning here. Read, in the beginning. The heaven. Now what happens here? What's next? If indeed God created the heaven and the earth and he spoke this thing, then how in the world, in the second verse, could now the world become void? If he speaks a thing and it comes to pass, then explain to me, how did it turn void between verse number 1 and verse number 2? Because Satan got thrown into the picture. Between verse 1 and verse number 2, Satan fell like lightning from heaven. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, featuring Lucifer as the DJ. But then he thought that he was equal with his creator. Some of you cannot become a co-creator with God because you think you've created God. We are the instruments and the vessels that he has called to be used by him only if his wind blows through us. So in other words, Lucifer had no power except the Spirit of God blew through him or over him. And when it did, it sounded like a choir. But he started believing his press and got a posse around him saying, yeah, you're just as good as God. So in between verse number 1 and verse number 2, pride caused darkness to hit the earth. So the earth was without form and it was void. Nothing was within it. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Look at this in the Message Bible. God created the heavens and earth, all you see, and say this, somebody, all that you don't see. He also created all that you don't see. That should be our primary focus now. It's not just what God tangibly reveals to us. It should be we are excited about what we don't see. Because the things that we see are temporary, but what we don't see is eternal. So if you don't see money, that's great. It's what you don't see that lets you know what you really have, because that causes my frustration to be turned into faith. If I see it, I cannot have faith. But the fact that it's not there makes me create that it is there. And when I declare it in earth, it's backed up in heaven. Oh. Somebody praise God for nothingness. When you don't see your way out in the spirit realm, your way has already been made. Because in the beginning, God created all that you see. And he also created what you can't see. The Bible reveals to us about the eyes. Eyes have not seen. Ain't talking about your eyes in the spirit. If you're in the spirit, you can see. When you're in the flesh, all you can see is what's presented to you on your bill. And then you begin to believe what you see and cancel out what you don't see. God has put this puzzle together in eternity, speaking of your destiny. And just like NASA, when the rocket has to come out of orbit back into the Earth's atmosphere through the stratosphere, you will notice that pieces of the rocket will break up before it comes back into this realm. There is a complete destiny formed before the foundation of the world that is already put together. But in between eternity, which has no time, and Earth, which has time, all of it breaks into pieces to hit a time zone. Because God is Alpha and Omega. He never began and never ended. We stand in the planet between Alpha and Omega. He said, I'm the beginning and the end, but it's up to you, my sons and daughters, to create what needs to happen in the middle. He said, I'm your beginning and your end, but someone needs to take spiritual responsibility. Quit praying for God to bring you out and begin to create yourself out. Quit worshiping the spirit of frustration and begin to start elevating your thinking. For as a man thinketh, so is he. If you keep rehearsing that you're under Satan's clutches, you will become a manifestation of your creative writer, which is your tongue. That's why I have to say, Lord, bridle my tongue and let your words begin to edify, which brings me to the next text, which says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, which is directly coinciding with my mind, be acceptable in thy sight. Not only what I speak out of my mouth, but let the sights that I type myself into be acceptable in thy sight. I have about one person back there shouting because they're hearing this thing in the spirit. And I wish I understood why this church don't understand we're in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 20. The great falling away has begun. He that has an ear, a spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Shake somebody next to you and say, quit labeling God's work. Quit calling something that's divine divination. Stop calling stuff that's evil. When God says look in the mirror, it really means live. That's why God loves the underdog, because it's him backwards. Y'all missed that right there. If you want to be like God, you've got to become the reflection of God, which means you'll be dogged out for no reason. Oh, but the dogs even get the crumbs from the master's table. So it's not frustration unto confusion, for God has not called us to walk into the spirit of confusion, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Now church, shout glory for revelation. Be seated in the presence of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Glory to God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Hallelujah. Jehovah God is worthy of all praise. Yes. Frustration comes in many forms. Spiritual frustration where you can predict your services. Frustration. When it seems like I've heard this over and over again for the past 10 years and I'm not seeing results. Frustration. That the very thing I came up to the altar for to get delivered from was gone for about 21 days and then that monkey crept right back in my life. Frustration. The preacher told me I was delivered, so how did this creep back in? But what you have to understand is that frustration keeps you in God's face Because Paul also had a thorn in his side. I need about 20 people that can get excited that God's grace has been sufficient. Y'all sitting up in here, letting the devil talk to your mind. Up here trying to analyze the word. You need to be saying, God, I should be dead sitting up in this sacred house. But your grace and mercy kept me. I acted a fool before I got here. And you didn't kill me at the double doors. Don't you tell me I don't have a right to bless the God of my salvation. That's why I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because some folks got into their cars but didn't make it to church. Oh, but you're in the number one more time. Somebody give God praise, because in here there's no condemnation. Inside of here there are no accusations. The spirit of the Antichrist has no place within the Holy of Holies, and you are under the blood of Jesus here, frustrations and all. So therefore there's nothing that the enemy can say about what you've done, because the moment you said I'm sorry, it was lifted up off of you, and now shall your head be lifted up above your accuser. Frustrations. The devil's busy. The devil don't have no kind of power over a son and a daughter. Let me mess somebody up real good. The Bible tells us, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Here's key. Everyone's going to feel some inklings of the Holy Ghost, but it doesn't mean that they're infilled with the Holy Ghost. Y'all are confusing people that are just feeling the essence of what we've created electromagnetically with the fact that they have emphatically and prophetically received the fullness of the Holy Ghost. But after the tongues, there should be some fruit and some signs that follow. So I can't do exercise and calisthenics and then still act the same way after I come down from shouting. He said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. But I need you to get the Holy Ghost deep down within. Well, at least when I got the Holy Ghost upstairs July 9th, 1982, they didn't just let you get up because you felt like it. And nobody told you that you had it. You knew you had it when you had to have someone escort you to the car, escort you into your bed. Look, y'all ain't saying nothing. He said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. But here's the key. The only people that have the access to prophesy are sons and daughters. Sons and daughters don't just come as church members. They don't just show up when someone's in town. We don't have any sons and daughters. We have sons and daughters, but we don't have sons and daughters, because we all think because we have a few preaching tapes that we done arrived somewhere. But can I go ahead and bless somebody? Even after I preach, this is a gift. Even after I preach, I'm talented to preach, but I happen to be anointed. But some people have the gift of the preach. But when you are a son, you're able to take rebuke from a father that says, that was wonderful, but you still need some word up in you. That was good, son, but there's still some more working out that the Lord has to do within you. And what happens is we have Orphan Annie and Little Olivers in all of our churches, because the moment that somebody challenges you to another place in God, you go on strike and leave your church, because someone's trying to procreate the spirit of sonship into your life. Why would I want to be a bastard in the spirit? I want to acknowledge my daddy in heaven, but God also gives us spiritual mothers and fathers in earth that need to dig into us and say, that was beautiful, but there's more where that came from. Frustration when you know you are in a second place position, but you have a first place anointing.
having to sit underneath someone that can't even sing like you, but they're in the office of the director. I don't care how well you can sing. It's all about order. Y'all are frustrated saying it's the enemy trying to block your success. I beg to differ. That's Jesus trying to work the spirit of pride out of your spirit so you'll sit long enough to learn how to shut your mouth and take orders. Because it's only those who are in alignment that will receive the fullness of what God is trying to say. Contrary to popular beliefs, God is not leading anyone who's not under leadership. If you're frustrated in your ministry, it's probably because you're too self-aware of your ministry. Too many people have told you you're wonderful, so now you think you're above the law. But when you really got a word in your mouth, you'll say, God, I'll lay on my face for a year. I will turn off every keyboard and every organ. I'll never go back to the studio again because I can make something because I'm multi-talented. But if it's not kingdom purpose, it's just talent. God had to get fathers in my life because after my father died spiritually, I was a bastard. Why? Because I went on strike against the one who turned his back on me. Y'all better hear me good. Y'all standing there like you're always on God's team and that you always understand what the Lord is doing in your life. Have you ever come into a service and purposely sat on your hands saying, God, if I can't see your hands, why should I raise my hands? But that's when you've got to come out of the spirit of frustration and get spiritually mature and say, that's how baby saints act. Once upon a time, I desired the sincere milk of the word of the Lord, but now it's time to get to the meat of the matter. I don't have to wait for the pastor to give me a word. I'll get a word for myself by myself. And when I return to the temple, this won't be a revelation. It will be a confirmation for what I already know. God says, create your atmosphere and quit labeling things a frustration that God is using to procreate elevation. There's no way that you can be launched forward unless your life is pulled back. Does anybody know about coming out of the starting race? And the moment that you try to make your way towards your destiny, God stretches you backwards. God takes you backwards. You're like, I just heard the prophecy. So how in the world am I at this place? But y'all don't understand. It's not about where I've come from, but thank God it's about where I'm going. If I get stuck worshiping here, then how can I prophesy over there? Don't worry about the here, but prophesy over there. There is another side to this story. I need someone to understand that in the game of sorry, there are some certain numbers that will push you forward, and there's some certain numbers that will take you back. Now, if you get a one, that means you get to come out, but you can't go nowhere else. But imagine if you pulled a four after your one. The number four in sorry takes you back four spaces. But if you know how to play the game of sorry right, you going backwards actually gets you closer to home. Because now where others had to go around the board, all you had to do was step back, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And around the corner, I'll make my way to the safety zone. And sorry, as long as you're out on the field, people people can take you out. But the moment you get in God's presence, that is the safety zone. No cards can affect your moves. No lies can affect your anointing. There is a secret place of the Most High, and there I shall abide. That's where I'm going to stay. That's where I need to go. Folks is fighting to be seen everywhere, but I'm trying to get to the safety zone. Folks trying to be heard everywhere, but I'm trying to get to the safety zone. So if God has to set me back just to set me up, what the devil meant for evil, God says turn around and live. I wish I had about three people that can say I'm being stretched back to be launched forward. I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. This is not the enemy, but this is a divine delay. God has stopped the clock on me because the relationship I thought was right was really a trick of the enemy. The person I thought was Isaac has turned out to be Ishmael. But even though I don't understand it, all of my appointed times, meaning all of my called out set apart times, I will wait until my transfiguration comes. We've moved from transition into transfiguration, which means that God is destroying the pattern that you said about yourself, the idea you've designed about yourself. There's no way I can lead a song. There's no way I can testify. God says, follow me to the Mount of Olives, and I will transfigure you from a prostitute to a prophet, from a pimp out on the street to a man of God. Somebody praise him for frustration. Thank him for divine delay, because it might be delayed, but it's not denied. I wish I had about five folks. I wish I had about five folks. Oh, y'all ain't praising him. And I ain't going to try to convince you, because I feel the anointing. Frustration tells you to move from your place, because the knights took a hit and the bishops are starting to fall. But I dwell in the secret place of the Rook up on high. Now even a lay member can win the game if you want, but the king in this game takes one step at a time. Quit jumping from church to church playing checkers and stand still and play chess. Strategize 5 years from now. You don't have to win now. It's about you winning last, for the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but the one that endureth. Somebody endure. Don't you move, because the devil wants your position. Don't you move, because you're frustrated. Stand, and when you've done all to stand, somebody ought to stand some more. Stand on the word of God. Stand. Yeah. Somebody need to stand. Let the devil know that I'm not moving. God called me to this position. God told me to stay here. It might kill me, but I needed to die anyway. Sacrifice yourself. Lay down and see God work. Somebody shout yes, because God is doing this thing. It's not the devil. It's not the enemy. It's a divine delay. Somebody clap your hands for Jesus. Louder. 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 Now somebody shabak the Lord. You gotta stand right where you are. Stand right where God puts you. Because if you move, the rocks are gonna take your place. The devil wants you to get frustrated, so you leave your original position. But if you keep on digging, the devil don't want you to know, but in a little while, you're gonna be digging and it seems like nothing's there. Then all of a sudden, you're gonna see some black gold, some Texas tea. Some of y'all don't know about the Beverly Hillbillies. He wasn't looking for a miracle. He was just shooting, trying to eat. But he shot at the right place, at the right time. And if you dig in, one of these days, everything's gonna line up in order. And you gonna hit spiritual oil. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now they moved from out in the country over to Beverly Hills. The reason why you're frustrated, this is not about you. It's about what God's about to give you. That's enough to take you and your family out of where y'all came from to a whole nother location. It's not about your tears. It's about your uncle's salvation. It's not about your suffering. For the present suffering of this world cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. I got to stand. Godly frustration. I don't understand it, but I'll praise him while I wait. I don't get the voice of God, but I'll praise him while I wait. And though he's crushing me, though he's slaying me, I ain't got no choice. I ain't got no choice but to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding. The Bible said lean, but don't break. The winds may come and they may blow, but somebody wave to the side and pop back up, because you got down to the ground. But when you press me down, Jesus picks me up, sticks right by me. When the going gets tough, I've got Jesus. I got Jesus. You can scorn me, turn your back on me, but God's got his arms wrapped all around me. I'm spiritually frustrated for a transfiguration. Praise him now. Don't you wait. You better praise him now. Now is the acceptable time for the child to come forth. So praise him. I know you're frustrated. Your stomach is burning. But that's the best time to push them weights. It's in the burn. Let it burn. Because God is shaping you. Let it burn. Because God is preparing you. Godly frustration is an alarm clock for transfiguration.